B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me. Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our trouble will be out of sight. And have yourself a merry little Christmas. Now, no problem. Gonna run within. Let's just end on a high note.
Hey, this is the Money Man. Anybody want to tell everybody, happy Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays. Everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Christmas is right around the corner. Gotta love that. We got it right here. 97.1, The River.
Sarge really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Jace, do I just may?
It's really cold outside.
Monday Night Raw
with Dean Ambrose
is on tonight.
Roman Reigns is gonna suplex Bray Wyatt.
I know it's gonna be soon.
Like your death.
We'll be eating at Kowloon.
Don't go to sleep.
So hey, Andy Wong.
He's cool and will be spared.
Let's have some Saugus wings.
Don't go to sleep. Ray Wyatt.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. We are here for your pleasure. 617-779-0985. Joe Murray's in here. This is Rich's last day of the year. Very fortunate, like finding money on the street.
That was true. There were 2 days I had not taken. I was like, well, looks like I'll be leaving on Wednesday then.
Yeah, I got a. I'm broadcasting on location on the 30th. Just so I'll be out there.
That'll be good. Now, is that you and Joe on that morning?
It's me and Joe.
Okay. That'll be smooth.
Oh, yeah.
It'll go well.
Oh, yeah. No issues at all that day.
No, I'm serious. That'll be fine.
No, I mean, I'm worried about this guy.
About Fred? No. Because Fred, like, had a million things checked. Like on his,
they gave me a new one.
Yeah, they gave him a new one. So I mean, this is going to work. I guarantee you it will. Okay. Now I see Fred and I have worked together for so long that if he's not in the studio and I'm here or whatever, it just seems to flow. Do you feel comfortable enough with Fred that it's not going to be like like Wallach Palooza where you're stepping on everything?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'd rather talk to Fred about life than about anything else. Yeah.
It will be the day that the regular season has ended. We will. Obviously have like a best of.
Well, just think about it. Joe's going to be in his happy place because all these bowl games.
Oh, yeah. He'll be gambling and rambling.
I mean, all over the place. You're going to be gambling.
We have a big podcast tomorrow night. They all start on the 20th.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I have a whole projection and a formula all set up for every single game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you've gotten like technical.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Bankroll Boys would be in tomorrow.
Yeah, so maybe you can give us a little preview tomorrow.
Just a taste. You don't want to take away from the podcast.
No, you do not want to do
but
that.
But just a taste. Yeah.
No, we're kind of over that now. We had to get people to listen, and It did the trick.
Okay, good. Okay. So you're rolling all the way through the new year, right?
Yeah, like we got college basketball.
No, I mean you, like in studio.
Oh, yeah, I'm here until Wallach kicks me out.
Okay, which apparently is January 2nd. He was
very combative about that.
As he said yesterday, get the hell out of my chair. He'll be back on January 2nd, as we spoke with him yesterday.
Yes, I was informed that indeed I was giving him crap about... I made a very sweet gesture of giving him a book of someone who it's an autobiography, but it's framed in the guy has something in his brain they believe would cause an aneurysm. So throughout the book, he will pop back to something that happened in his life, and then he'll go into this thing. He's an ex-writer that Wallach was familiar with, and then I gave him the book. And I apparently the next day talked about how unappreciative he was, and I was thinking about yesterday. I'm like, yeah, I mean I think that giving someone a book is a much kinder gesture than giving them money or something like that.
I think his whole thing was that his mind just wasn't on.
That's fine, but you can still be appreciative.
I don't know, man. I know you're just a friend giving him a book, but in high school...
Wait, you were going to give him money the day before surgery?
No.
You just said it's a kind gesture then.
No, I've given people money or something, and you give someone a bottle of booze or something like that, but I think that giving someone a book that you think that they would relate to...
But you also understand why he wasn't over-effusive of praise. His mind was in other places at the time. Like, he's about to get his head cracked open like an egg. No. And I think he's kind of got that... I think that might be in the annal a thing like the list of important things on his mind.
No, you still got to be. You still got
snow is first. Right. Putting the windshield wipers up is second.
Yeah, I have to be honest, Fred. There's something about that. I remember when Mary was in the hospital for a while. There was this one person who kept emailing us asking if they got the flowers that were sent. And at some point, it's just like, man, we got things that we're worrying about. Like, I mean, like, really, really. I mean, this is like a big deal stuff we're going through right now.
And I didn't do that. I didn't bother him.
No, this wasn't you. But yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that I guess when he's – this is like a major life-altering thing that he was going to have done. And yeah. And I think that if he wasn't on his best P's and Q's and thank yous and things like that, that's understandable.
Well, you should have said something. it is our program director, as has been reported, is going to his hometown of Chicago, and his party is tonight. Now, have you procured a gift for him?
I have, yep.
Now, is it, expensive?
No, it's not expensive. Yeah.
Is it heartfelt?
More funny than heartfelt.
Okay, good.
Is tonight the night to give them the gift?
I kind of figured. I mean, I'm not going to see him after tonight. For a while. He'll stay in touch, and I think he's going to visit every once in a while.
This is essentially, I think, the...
This is the goodbye, yeah.
I mean, if you had 2 days left before you left, I mean, do you think he's going to be here before 10?
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't be here before 10.
So have you picked him up something?
Got him an expensive bottle of booze.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
Well, Rich, to your right, I got you a nice little... bottle of booze right there in that bag.
Is that for me?
That's for you.
Oh, okay. Because I say this bag.
Fred, I didn't forget about you. We'll be working together.
My favorite.
So there you go, big guy.
Bar Hill Gin. That's my favorite.
Oh, that was nice.
Thank you very much.
Everyone,
I can tell it's been in the car. It's frozen. This is great.
So I like my booze though.
Everyone exchanging gifts, putting pressure on everyone.
Very nice. I'm sorry. I don't mean to change the subject. But there's something I want to discuss later on. We got to talk to your buddy Dan, the other bankroll boy. He's obsessed with the success of such a D-level celebrity that it's fascinating.
Oh,
really?
Like he is obsessed with somebody that nobody gives a rat's ass about, and like he's incensed that this person has found some sort of love in his life. Vegas Dave is a guy who was featured on that HBO gambling show.
Yeah, you guys don't like him, right?
No, I'm out on him. I looked for him in Vegas, by the way.
Yeah, you looked for him to scare him.
I wanted to see the girl he was with.
Okay, so this is where it gets weird. Lifshatz hates Vegas Dave. He's some guy who, is one of these people who has the call my 900 number and I'll give you my tips.
A toad who just steals money.
Okay, but whatever the case is, and even on the HBO show, it shows that he's spending most of the time with his parents because they gave him so much money to bail him out of all the debts he's been in. But Liv Schatz is obsessed with this. And I don't know even why TMZ's been running with this. But somebody is feeding TMZ and all these other people these pictures of Vegas Dave. Who gives a rat's ass about Vegas Dave? With a reporter named Holly Saunders, who I had to even look up who that was. Is she the NFL Network?
She used to be the Golf Channel. Okay. She used to date Cliff Kingsbury.
Okay. Well, all I know is that
he's a handsome man.
All I know is that there's a picture of Vegas Dave on his knees at the beach, putting a ring on Holly Saunders' hand, and it says like hashtag Holly Saunders hashtag power couple. And Liv Schatz retweets it and goes, "This can't be real. I refuse to believe this isn't marketing." And like every day when there's a Holly Saunders and I don't even know who she is. And Vegas Dave's story, Dan, he no like it. He does not like that.
He's not buying it.
He is not buying.
But like,
story.
How does this dude get hurt? Like, how does it happen?
No,
he lives
Dave
with his mom and dad.
Is Vegas Dave handsome?
I don't think so. He's kind of like a Jersey situation
Shore.
Type.
Yeah, he's like a Jersey Shore guy.
So is he like muscular and everything else?
Not really.
And she dated Cliff Kingsbury at what point in his life?
Like within the last year or so.
Huh?
I think when he was at Texas Tech and now he's at Arizona.
Maybe she's reached like a rock bottom. And so Vegas Dave.
I mean,
maybe.
Not for nothing, but Vegas Dave, like he's got IRS. He's got like major issues.
Yeah. Like did he go to jail?
He went to jail, yeah. He stole people's credit card information.
That's right.
Oh, he's a scumbag. I have no other way to say it. But yet, like, how does he get her?
Well, you would think that he wouldn't, but nonetheless, love is blind.
But there's nothing funnier than Liv Schatz just getting incensed, just completely ticked off by somebody that I don't really even know either of these people.
Well, you know what? You got to be passionate about something. And, you know, if you hate the guy, you don't want to see anything good happen to him.
Is there any, like, local celebrity, female celebrity that we could kind of piss off Vegas Dave with and have Dan Lifshatz on one knee?
A local one.
Get Maria Menounos.
Oh, Maria Menounos. Yeah, she's a good one.
First of all, I think she's married. And second of all, I've had enough of Maria Menounos. When was the last time she did something?
Well, other than just randomly appear on a Celtics broadcast?
Or randomly appear like on a talk show?
I think she's on E a lot.
A lot?
I see her on the ads before the movie starts at the theater.
One of my neighbors was Maura Tierney. She was on...
Maura Tierney. Like, she's the I know that you like that show, The Affair, right?
She grew up across the street from me in Hyde Park. So.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in years, but yeah.
Wait, who was she on The Affair?
She was on The Office. Remember Mr. California? They wanted his wife to work there for a day, and he's like, no, please.
Oh, she was on News Radio.
Yep, she was in ER. She was on
ER. She was fantastic.
She was in Liar, Liar. Yeah. She was the wife.
Yeah, she was fantastic on The Affair. She's much older than you.
Yeah, she's probably, you know, six years older than me. I grew up with her brother.
Oh, no, she's at least 50.
Look
her up.
Because, I mean, she was a star in the 90s.
Yeah, she's over 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question. But she was excellent in The Affair.
Oh, yeah, wow.
She's a good actress.
54, wow.
Yeah,
she grew up on my street.
She was in like a string of hit movies in the early 90s, I think. That was kind of her heyday.
She is a very good actress. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Let's talk about the Bruins. How the hell did they lose that game last night?
All right, we will return.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
I'll be listening this morning at 7:30 and 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Bills this Saturday, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members, because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans 2x the points on any size coffee, so don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. Excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. Limited time offer that's coming up at 7:30 and 9:30.
And this is the game to go to. Saturday night at Gillette, that ex-Toby Keith's is going to be like, it's going to be sloppier than when Rat played.
Ted will be there.
I had
You're going?
No, Ted's going to be there. Okay. That's where they broadcast.
I had two people mentioned to me that, and I don't think they heard about it on the show, that Rat was playing.
Yeah.
Neither of them was going.
of course.
But it was just the idea that Rat, and then, because it's a Monday night, and it's a Monday night at Patriots Place, and my point on Rat is, and if you don't know Rat, they're a hair metal band from the 80s who weren't bad.
No,
and
they were one of the better hair metal bands.
Right, but this Stephen Piercy is a wreck. And so you might say, Fred, well, you're all in on going to see Motley Crue, which I think Rat is a better band, but you go see Motley Crue. See, Rat playing... Rat playing at a club and him being a disaster isn't that funny to me. Playing at Fenway and being a disaster is funny to me.
Like with all the explosions and stuff to help cover it up.
Well, Bird told me, is Bird here?
Yeah, he's
Bird told me that they have to limit the pyro at Fenway.
I mean, I've seen 3 shows at Fenway, and I don't think any of them had pyro.
Right, so that makes it even better, because then it's all about the performance.
But you also, I mean, the one thing I will say about Motley Crue is that, all right, I do want to laugh at Vince Neil more than anything. Part of me still wants to see Tommy Lee flip around in the drum set. Like, I want to see the roller coaster drum set. I want to see the cage that he flips around in.
But even when he's doing that, it's funny, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because he's like, ah!
he's still good. That's the one thing. Like, Tommy Lee looks like crap. He's still really, really good.
But it's funny because, like, it always breaks down. And like, it's always breaking down.
See, I haven't seen it break down.
I've never seen him live. But if you see, I've only seen Vince Neil when you opened for him. And he came out with literally a bucket of beers.
Yeah, you and, sing it.
Well, most, see, here's the thing is, like, I would say what, you know, 75% of bands drink on stage. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There is something to be said for wearing, like, a Tommy Bahama shirt and coming out with, like, a bucket of, like, Budweisers and bottles.
Okay, so later on in the show, just because we're sidetracked and it's almost the holidays and we're all of it, I do have to read you a report that came out about the restrictions that Motley Crue's manager is putting on the guys in the band in order to keep them in shape enough to finish the tour.
Yeah, well, good
like,
luck
like, there
with
was
that.
A come-to-Jesus meeting.
Is it Doc McGee?
No, I don't think Doc McGee's with him anymore.
Okay.
Alan Kovac's the guy's name. He's been there with them for, like, 26 years, I think after Doc McGee left because of, like, all the drug charges and stuff like that. He sat down with these guys and was like, we all can make a ton of money if you don't F this up, and here's how we're going to do it. And it involves nutrition. It involves... like a lack of any kind of drugs. But I mean, I have like a laundry list of things that he's got the guys doing, and it's hysterical that he has to tell this to grown men.
Yeah, grown men, old men.
Old grown men.
Yeah.
In order to keep this thing rolling. Well, how the hell did the Bruins lose that one yesterday?
Rask stops the puck.
This is our area.
Over the line right side, here's Kopitar. Gave it away. Here's a breakaway for Bergeron. Wheels into the slot. Shoots, and he missed a target. Bergeron trying to track it down. Doughty shoveled it over to the far side. Now you got Kopitar over the line, far side, 2-on-1. Kopitar shoots, he scores. He threw it over the blocker hand of Rask. And the Kings victorious 4-3 in overtime over the Bruins.
Oh, the last place LA Kings covered the TD Garden last night to face a Bruins team that has been in a funk as of late, and it was the ultimate chance for a nice little slump buster to add to their recent win, but the Bruins let their guard down. They end up losing in overtime. 4-3, the final score, by the way, just as a sidetrack. I love 3-on-3 hockey.
The overtime is great. It's the shootout that's the problem.
It
well,
sucks.
Quick was really, really good yesterday.
Awesome.
I that tying goal by the Kings.
You blink, you miss it, man.
Well, the thing is that was from, like, the blue line, and I don't understand. Did that hit something?
It did. Well, Jack Edwards kept saying that he heard it hit something. So
I know they didn't hit.
What's his name, Stick? Was it Kopitar?
First of all, they didn't have a shot for 10 minutes before that. And second of all, Jack kept saying it hit something. He heard it hit something. But I never saw a replay that it hit anything.
Who did they credit the goal to? We should probably take a look.
The game winner?
Yeah, yeah.
Kopitar.
No, not the game winner. The tying goal.
Oh.
That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah, that's
the one where Jack Edwards is saying he heard it hit something. Well,
yeah, and then they kept showing the replay, and it didn't look like it hit
Matt
anything.
Roy.
Oh, that's right. Roy was the one who was credited with that.
Well, so that's a terrible goal to give up. I mean, from the blue line?
Yeah. My only thing, Tuca, like, he just doesn't have timely saves. Like, he did decent last night, but when it comes to, like, making a...
Well, if they don't shoot for 10 minutes, and then you give up one from the basically the blue line.
And they had two chances, Bjork, and then Bergeron just missed the net. Quick was awesome.
Yeah, Quick was great. I mean, that's how they won the game last night, is Quick. That was unbelievable. They had a lot of chances at the end there.
Well, as we were saying there, the Bruins, they were headed to that victory 3-2 with just minutes left in regulation, but then, of course...
Rask stops the puck. On it is Moore. Flings it to the far side. Prokhorkin, 6-on-5. Bruins up by a goal with 2 minutes left. Far point, Roy shoots, he scores! Bruins 3, Kings 3.
Well, despite the Bruins, as you mentioned, out shooting the Kings 40-27, Rask now finds himself 0-2-2 in his last four games. On top of that, if the Bruins get to overtime, you might as well just take away their second potential point because the team is 2-7 in extra time this season, which includes 2-for-3 in OTs and 0-for-4 in shootouts. And despite Cassidy sounding optimistic about his team's play, he did seem frustrated at the goaltending.
Seems like everything we gave up went in the back of the net. Had plenty of chances to extend the lead in the third. We're playing the right way, seemed to be in control, and kind of a harmless play that we didn't manage a puck originally on the retrieval. Could have done a better job. All of a sudden, it's in the net.
And even Tuca is his own worst critic. Well, except for Mark from Medford, who calls in all the time. He's Tuca's worst critic. But nonetheless, Tuca was pretty tough on himself last night.
You're out there, you're going to give your team a chance to win, make those timely saves. Today, I didn't make any, so that's the result. You end up losing, but moving on.
And how about that? Just mentioning his name, and he's already on the phone waiting to go. I would like, you know what, let him have a little dance today. I don't mind.
All right.
Just the line says, Mark, I'll tell you why the Bruins lost this night. Mark, it's almost like I willed you to call.
Well, he calls this every morning. He gets up early, and he calls after
and
every
and we love it, but when Rask right, messes
go,
up.
Go ahead, Mark. What's up?
Rich, what a great segue. You saw it. You know you saw it. Anyway, I'll give you my reasons why the Bruins lost last night. First off, once again, played down to their opponent. Secondly, you let up another shorthanded goal last night. Yeah. Thirdly, you had two breakaways in overtime. You got to bury those. No excuses. And fourthly, here it comes, Rich. Tuca was Paiuka last night.
Yeah, well,
Merry Christmas, guys.
You too, Mark. Good to hear from you. Well, the Bruins have only won one game of the last seven. They are shockingly 1-4-2 over that period of time. So as the Bruins try to figure out how to get scoring from lines not named the perfection line.
Well, Coyle played very well last night.
He did. He did very well.
Oh, Jimmy played well.
Joe, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. All right. Give me a break.
Yeah, he played well. I'm on McAvoy this week.
McAvoy did not play well last night.
He does not.
No, McAvoy has not done much of anything.
Well, this season has been.
He had one big hit.
Yeah, not great
this
season.
That I saw.
But there is an interesting option as far as scoring is concerned that might be worth exploring. Yesterday, Ilya Kovalchuk officially became a free agent after he cleared waivers, and now there's a report out of Canada that came out that said, quote, Ilya Kovalchuk wants to sign with a contender and would be okay with a minimum salary. The Bruins are interested.
Sure.
So
that's fine.
Well, he's 36 years old. He's has 3 goals and 9 points in 17 games a season, but he's also a minus 10. And hasn't really lived up to his contract the past few years, but then again, like, they overpaid for him in the first place. But Kovalchuk, he had 16 goals and 34 points along with a minus 26 last season in 64 games. 16 goals, 34 points, not awful.
Well, if you can get him for the minimum, if he takes 1 year for a minimum salary, I don't know what go ahead.
He stinks on defense.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, course, obviously, he's looking always, at his plus
like, he'd be Yager. If they brought him in.
Yager, good on defense. I block the sperm for hitting the egg.
So are you out on a league minimum for Kovalchuk?
For league minimum, you might have to take a look at it. The only problem is he has to play on the power play. So there goes Danton Heinen's minutes and, you know, our buddy DeBrusk. And then does that take away from Marchand on the power play as well? If he's going to play, he's going to play on offense.
Yeah, like, right. But if you sign him for the minimum, that doesn't require him to play, though. Like, if he was messing up,
you don't want him to take a roster spot.
Is he better than
someone,
Richie and Backes? Yes.
Yes.
So,
I want to
look
talk
at it
to
like that.
Jaffe's going to be in at 9 o'clock, and I got to ask him about this.
It's Richie. Just, does Cassidy want to deal with a guy who doesn't play two-way hockey?
Yeah. Yep. Well, you'd use him sparingly.
Nah.
So, you have to put, it makes Cassidy's job a lot more difficult because you have to really concentrate on when you want to put him in the game.
Doesn't hurt the development of other guys, too.
Well, yeah. Tomorrow night, the Bruins try to get things back on track. Islanders coming to town. Puck drops at 7 o'clock right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Rich, we're going to get to the headlines with Stan Murray. What are we going to talk about?
We had a weird moment during yesterday's press conference with Bill Belichick. The man never talks about injuries. He talked about somebody's injury, and it's just adding to more weirdness from this year's whole scenario between Bill and Brady and ownership.
All right, we will get to that. Here is Poindexter Murray with the headlines.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what is going on in the world of sports?
Well, Stephon Gilmore, Dante Hightower, and Matthew Slater all named to the Pro Bowl last night. It is the third Pro Bowl for Stephon Gilmore, the second for Dante Hightower.
And the 1 millionth for Slater.
Yeah, well, he just with his 8th Pro Bowl berth, he surpasses Steve Tasker.
Oh!
As the most special team honors in NFL history.
The Taskman getting overcome. That's a sad day. Wear your black armband.
Yep. Also, Tom Brady, not a Pro Bowler for the first time since 2008.
That's a shame.
It's only the fourth time in his career and the first time since 2006, if you don't count 2008, the year that, of course, that he was injured. So a lot of people screaming snubs yesterday. Not a lot of boogeyman on the list. People thinking that Kyle Van Noy should have been put up there. A lot of people. Now, Julian Edelman, there's a legit case why he should be there. As a matter of fact, he's never made a Pro Bowl. And this season, you would think there would probably be the best evidence that he should. He's fourth in the NFL with 92 receptions.
Second in targets, I believe.
Yep, yeah, he is. Second in the AFC in receptions, fourth in yards, and 10th in touchdowns. I mean, that's enough to get in the Pro Bowl.
He might have got snubbed, but again, I don't want to rattle cages, but this is why he won't be a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not going to be. I don't think he's going to be a Hall of Famer either.
Great player. Tough as nails. Mm-hmm. Just will not be a Hall of Famer.
Also, another guy that probably deserved it if you really want to care about punters, but Jake Bailey has been excellent. Mm. He's second in the NFL in placing punts inside the 20-yard line. So, I mean, it just seems like he's been making big play after big play after big play.
I think the special teams ones, that there's not a ton of thought that's put into
it. Yeah, you're probably right. And Slater's just like one of those guys. Like, let's pop in Slater.
They just gift him in. Like, right.
He's been good.
He's the Dame Judi Dench of Best Actress.
Right.
Just if anything they do, yeah, put him in.
Or Meryl Streep in the 80s, where they just gave it to her. No, he has been good. And he blocked the punt, and he had a very important play in last week's game. Was it two games ago?
He's been great. I wonder if you take a look at his plays, like as you said, the turnovers that he's caused and the special teams. But I bet he's responsible for at least one extra win this year.
Oh, his WAR is very high.
So no, I'm talking about just how many more wins does this team have because of Matt Slater? Mm. I bet there's at least one because there's been I think three games where he had a big turnover.
Yep.
But I bet one of them you could probably go back and credit him for being the difference in that game. Just that's what a Pro Bowler does. They make big differences. But there was a very strange moment yesterday during the press conference with Bill Belichick. He was asked about the backup quarterbacks like Jarrett Stidham, Cody Kessler, and their role in practice. And Belichick offered up something that was a little bit of a shock.
I mean, those guys are always ready to go, and it's an opportunity for them. It's hard to practice three quarterbacks, but and there have been a couple of examples where Tom hasn't been able to do a lot this year, so that's given Stid an opportunity to go with the first group and run our plays and run our offense, and that's been good for him. It's given Cody an opportunity to run more of the scout team plays because Jarrett's not taking those, so it's, and again, quarterbacks are always looking for more work.
That Brady hasn't been able to do a lot this year was weird because he never talks about players that are injured or anything like that. Yet it just seemed like an odd thing to throw in there because, Belichick's also, as we know, very measured in his press conferences. The question was about the backup quarterbacks. It wasn't about Brady. He kind of brought that up on his own. And on top of that, it's weird, like because not only do you have that, but you had Brady come out there with the elbow wrapped up, almost like, he wanted the world to see, listen, this is, I'm dealing with injuries here. Take a look. It's not just because I'm I'm older, or I mean, I've got a lot of stuff I'm dealing with here. It just seems like another strange little thing that Belichick threw out there, which I don't know if he. I'm not used to him doing something.
Well, the
like
guy
that
doesn't come to off-season workouts, and they won without that, so it's hard to like bring that back up again. But he. This is why he's having problems with young rookie receivers or receivers
point.
In general.
Yep, no, good point. Lack of time at practice, and maybe that's because he's injured, so you can't really discredit
him
for that.
He's probably been injured 90% of the seasons he's played. And you can say it's not about age, but as it gets colder and as his – I mean, this might have been something that wouldn't have nagged him as much as it does now.
Well, it's also he has the right or he's earned the right to have more load management. Yep. And I think over the last couple of years, you've seen that.
But he never wanted it before.
But how do the other guys progress if he's not there? If it's Jared Stidham throwing him the football or Cody – they wasting a roster spot on Cody Kessler because Brady can't practice.
And as I said, this kind of sucks that he can't practice with these guys if he's indeed like hurting or older or injured. And I understand that. And you want him – you'd much rather have him on the field during a game than at practice. But the preseason stuff, now you take a look back and you're like, all right, if you're going to have this much time away from practice – maybe it's almost necessary now that you get there. That you're there early and trying to get some sort of chemistry with these guys. Because and to that, you know, it's becoming more and more a case where you really can't complain about the lack of chemistry. And it seems like that's what he's been doing most of the year. And that part of it, I agree with you. If you're not there at the you're not putting the time in at the beginning of the season, especially when you know you're going to have this time off during regular season practice. Then that's a lot of that's on you for not getting that chemistry.
He's hurt, but he's been notoriously tough, and I do believe it's his age, and it gets much more difficult to play through injury while you get older, and also it's getting cold, and playing in the cold is probably not as easy when you're 42 years old, so it's all kind of coming together. Which makes me think that maybe this is it. I mean, this is probably very painful if he has to sit out practices. I mean, why go through it again? What's the point?
Well, unfortunately, the season hasn't had that moment yet that we've seen in other seasons. Like last year, where all of a sudden, and it took to the playoffs. It was the playoffs where you saw everything take off and it became Brady again. Like those first two playoff games, he was phenomenal. And you haven't had that yet. And I thought that if you did have that moment, more than likely he was going to play another year somewhere, whether it be here or somewhere else. Now I'm kind of with you, Fred. Like if he ends up not getting out of this malaise and can't get any kind of chemistry and his numbers stay where they are, why do it? You know, it's like you're not really met. And also you wouldn't have
not fun.
And you might not even have teams clamoring for you the way that I thought that they would have at the beginning of the season.
The only team I can think of is Los Angeles because they're desperate for any kind of hype.
True. Yeah. That is true.
And Pro Football Talk did a thing yesterday. Both guys are free agents at the end of the year. Like who's the better value? Who would you rather sign? Breeze is going to get the money. The thing is with Brady, I think Brady in Dallas is a perfect situation. And I know that they have Dak Prescott, who also was snubbed from the Pro Bowl. The guy had one of the best numbers in the league and didn't even make the Pro Bowl. I don't want to talk Pro Bowl stuff.
There's riots everywhere. There is one thing that's kind of funny. The Ravens, 12 people in the Pro Bowl. I mean,
stupid.
I mean, the team's
what
amazing.
Happens when you win.
Yep.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, let's get to an amazing story that was told by Kevin Garnett involving LeBron James. On top of that, we got some Mookie Betts news we'll throw at you.
All right, we will be right back.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have Patriots tickets to give away at 7:30. So be listening for that. Rich, what else is going on?
So Bob Nightingale, of course, the baseball reporter for USA Today, who does a pretty good job, he said that the Dodgers have engaged in exploratory trade talks with the Red Sox about Mookie Betts. Apparently they said, don't tell anybody because these talks aren't supposed to be public. But right now, the Dodgers' top priority remains, of course, Francisco Lindor. But if the two sides can't agree on a package, they want Mookie Betts. And it looks like the Red Sox are very interested, I don't really know what the deal would be, and I don't think they've even come out with any kind of.
They mentioned Corey Seager being involved in it. He's an infielder.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that does the trick, but they have plenty. Cody Bellinger, like, they have guys that they could give up. Plus, a lot of minor league prospects as well.
They just love spending money.
Yep.
They just love spending money more than anything else.
And David Price, there's still a bunch of talk with the teams that are interested in him. And what have you been hearing as far as who is interested and what the team's going
to do? To me, it's either Price or Betts, right? I mean, they want to get under $30 million. It looks like they're working on that at the moment.
Is it Price or Betts or Price and Betts?
If they get rid of both, then they're really shedding salary.
I mean, that's what they said they wanted to do.
No, I mean, if they can get rid of both, power to them. I think it's one or the other. But the Dodgers, that's the team you want to play with. They have so many assets, whether it's minor leagues or play. Their bullpen is really good. Like, that's a team that's just developed talent year after year. Yes. And if you look at the Cardinals, they've done deals with them, and they're interested in Price.
Yeah.
But guys have come from the National League to the American League from the Cardinals, and it hasn't always been great.
They had Alan Craig, and they had...
There's one. Joe Kelly was another one.
Joe Kelly, Edgar Renteria. They've had their problems while they were here.
So what's the deal? And I have to
They ruined Joe Kelly. What?
I would say, like, Corey Seager, Jock Peterson. I don't know. Maybe Kenley Jansen. I don't know.
But why would you give up Jock Peterson for...
But you get Mookie Betts.
You got an awful lot of young talent there. I don't... That seems like a weird move to make. To get a year of him and then have to give him a ton of money. It just seems like... It seems like an awful... Giving up with so much young talent. You have World Series talent. And just kind of... Seems completely unnecessary to make that move.
But I'll tell you, though, they got shut out at the winter meetings. So the Dodgers are, like, pissed. They want to, like, make a move because they got shut out. So
that's a big move.
But the Price is probably the best option for them. Because they need pitching, and I don't know, I think he could do pretty well there.
Well, big market.
I think he'd be fine in L.A.
You park him in St. Louis. That's where he's at. Everyone's nice.
He holds all the cards now.
Yeah, one of his big truck that he drives around the Seaport.
Oh yeah, the bat Hummer, whatever it is. That thing's huge. Yeah,
yeah. I hold all the cards now, and and every deck of cards is a joke.
That is the weirdest. And I just remember how there was like a silence. Like, were we supposed to laugh at that? I'm not quite sure what that means.
Why is this funny? With your Vanderbilt education, they didn't teach you comedy.
Well, Fred, it looks like some of your friends are going to have to sit there and suck it in Detroit because, according to the Martha Ford, owner of the Lions, Matt Patricia is safe for the next season. He and general manager Bob Quinn for 2020. They're going to stick around, but it sounds like it is a double secret probation type of situation. But
that is the Fords. They believe that before all the injuries that they were on the right track. Bezos from Amazon?
Yep.
He wants to buy an NFL franchise, and the Fords are saying, no way, Jose. I'm not selling to you. So just look for more guys getting second, third, fourth chances.
I'd give him another year.
I'd give him another year or two because you can't just keep switching things around. And he didn't have Stafford, and maybe give him another year to because he's trying to change the culture there and he's trying to get a certain kind of player. And I'd give him another year or two, but I have a feeling they go 500 next year and they give him another year, and then it just turns into mediocrity. They got rid of Caldwell. Caldwell was winning.
Who could go there though and help them?
Well, let's think of what they need. They need everybody except for Darius Slay in their secondary. They need to improve. They need a pass rusher because Trey Flowers is not exactly.
And they just got rid of Ziggy Ansah for nothing a year ago.
Yeah, well, Ziggy Ansah is off and on, and he wasn't what he was supposed to be when he was coming out of college. So, to be honest with you, I don't know. But he's trying to instill these guys that are, the guy, Belichick wants a certain type of player. Yeah. He's taken that kind of from Belichick, so he's trying to change the culture by having him practice in the snow and pissing him off and everything else.
So I'm thinking, a week from this Monday is Black Monday. That's when most of the NFL coaches who are going to get fired. And it's weird because there's a couple of them that I thought were on the chopping block that seem safe now. Adam Gase seems like he's going to be sticking
around.
They
made that. Well, the Brilliant Jets made that announcement about 3 months ago.
Yeah, so he is probably going to stay. We now know that Matt Patricia is. The ones to keep an eye on, I mean, Freddie Kitchens is gone. There's got to be no question. Although, was it Mary Kay Cabot, I think, for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, reported that they might give him another shot just because of the enormous amount of money that they're going to be on the hook for.
Eat it.
That's what I would think.
Somebody else wants to be that
We coach. Never talked about it yesterday, but players from the Cleveland, including Jarvis Landry, who's a Pro Bowler, by the way, were going to the sideline in Arizona saying,
save us.
That's
what OBJ was saying, and I'm telling you, when he was meeting up with Tom Brady and they were doing the whole sneaker meetup, I guarantee you that's where that first report came from, is that he probably told Tom Brady, get me out of here, man. And Tom was like, dude, I don't even know if I'm going to be here next year.
Yeah, they were saying stuff that was being misconstrued as like they were, you know, dissing on the Cardinals. But what it turned out was they were actually asking for them to please sign them.
Save me.
Save me. Like, get me out of here.
See, I believe that Shermer's going to be gone. And I think that, I mean, if Dallas, with the Giants, if Dallas ends up completely blowing this, there's no question that Jason Garrett's going to be your coach of the Giants.
I think Shermer's gone, and I think Doug Marrone in Jacksonville's probably gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, they have a disaster going there. They have to get rid of everyone. They have to get rid of Coughlin. They have to get rid of Marrone.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard what was happening there.
Yeah.
They were violating every rule there is in terms of the Players Association.
And then you might have a situation where with the Chargers, they just replace him with Josh McDaniels because Tom Brady's going to be there.
That's right. And
is Tom Brady going to go there?
Certainly not.
Sorry, Jacksonville lady. I know you're very upset with everything.
To be honest with you, and I'm thinking just off the top of my head, if I know you say Dallas, but they got Prescott, and I don't think they're going to screw with that. If the only team I could possibly see taking a flyer on him right now is Los Angeles.
I agree.
We're just playing by the rules.
I know you're playing by the rules, but things aren't going well down there in Jacksonville.
But Jacksonville lady, he doesn't have to live if Tom Brady goes down there. He doesn't have to live. I mean, have you lived other places?
I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
I mean, so you could always live a couple of minutes from the beach in Miami.
You could. Maybe Tom Brady can come in and replace your butler. I mean,
you can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
The way she looks at the camera intensely at that point.
Don't think Dan Quinn isn't going to get fired either.
They've been playing hard for him, though. They just beat the 49ers. I'm curious if they give up on him.
How many years in a row, though, have we had it where they have just been you want to talk about another team with talent. That's a team with talent.
Yeah, only thing I can say is they've won probably like 4 out of 5 and been better.
But if it's not the coach of Oklahoma and it's not the coach of Baylor, I don't know why you make that move. I certainly wouldn't want Josh McDaniels.
McCarthy's probably one.
But he when it came out what he was doing at the end of his run in Green Bay. But then you think Aaron Rodgers is impossible to coach. So
Well, I mean, the guy there now, and I didn't forget his name, he seems to be doing an okay job. Despite like the rough start before the preseason, they seem to have gotten it together.
Yeah, they're going to win that division. All right, but that division turned out to be crap.
Oh, Vikings.
Oh, that's right. Vikings are really good.
The Vikings, I apologize. All right, Ted Johnson will be in studio. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.